from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
Well, listeners, Nigel has been grafting away, as he always does, but he's actually been doing extra grafting away on his book, which I'm sure many of you are aware of, and it's soon to come out. So I'll let Nigel give you the title again and the publishing date, publication date. But I thought, as we're quite close to it all coming together and being available, it would be quite good for you to just reflect a little bit on the process of writing this book, which is not your first. So, you know, how's it stacked up this time? Is it different to previous books? And what are we in store for?
Well, that's a great series of questions. Every book is different. That is true. But there's an underlying similarity, which is based not around the process of writing books, but around the way my brain works, essentially. And I always find that there's a quote at the very beginning of it, which I really like. And that quote is from Blake Morrison. And it says, "I don't write about what I know. I write about what I'm trying to discover." That is the absolute truth. I write about what I'm trying to find out about. And therefore, there's always the nature of writing for me is exploring and trying, meandering to meaning. It's the title of one of the chapters, meandering to meaning. I get there in the end, but sometimes I feel like I've gone round the houses in order to get there. So we're now at the absolute final stage. I'm just giving the book one last read through. It's been restructured into a much better format than it was before. I've got to just top and tail some of the chapters. I've added summaries and questions for each chapter. And tomorrow it goes off. So I kiss it goodbye tomorrow, which is always the most, in some ways, it's the most nerve-wracking stage of all, because it's not mine, but it's not actually a book yet. It becomes a book. And you get that distance as soon as you see the page proofs, then it ceases to be deeply imbued with me and it becomes a kind of independent entity. And I love that moment because it's very important that it ceases to be part of me. It's like letting your child go forth into the world. And it does feel like that. But that's scary, just like it is letting your child go forth into the world. What happens if it stumbles? What happens if it falls over? What happens if no doesn't have any friends? So all of that stuff comes to the fore. But it's always the same. You get 90% of the way through and you think, wow, just 9% or 10% to go. But that is finicky and requires close concentration. And sometimes it's hard to find that space to do that. You cannot do it on a train or watching the news or chatting to someone on the side. You have to do it quietly and get your brain around it. And I find that I can work in chunks of a chapter. I can get a chapter in my head and get the structure. I can't do much more than that. So that's why having somebody, an editor, to kind of look at the structure and say, no, no, this goes with this, that goes with that, is extremely helpful. Because as soon as they say that, it seems to me blindingly obvious. And I can't believe that I didn't work that out. Because in theory, a book builds. Each bit leads to the next bit and leads to the next bit. And so what I've got now is a really good structure, I think. I've got the first bit is about why I wrote the book and how I went about getting the research and so on. The second bit is about my model of organizational learning in some detail. The third book is the practices that emerged from that model or inform the model. So I think I've got 9 practices. So it's case studies, interviews, mm-hmm. research, looking at some pretty fundamental areas like 7 principles of organizational learning, looking at systems thinking, the difference between learning in organizations and organizational learning, those kinds of things. So that is the kind of nub of it. So that's all based on research of one sort or another, the practices. And then after the practices, there's a conclusion. And then, so how do you build organizational learning in your organization? That's it. And then finally, copious references. There are about 9 pages of references. So, you know, again, surprising. I just kind of added them as I went through them. But there's an awful lot of good research material there. So if anyone, you know, you could just dump the book and go for the references. If you followed that through. But I've also done a research trajectory, shown the kind of weaving pathway from the 1990s to the present of organizational learning research, to show where it all fits in and locks in together. So that's it. But really, it's I guess I'm making it sound more complicated than it really is. It's essentially just, why did I write the book? What is the model of organizational learning that I built the book around? And what are the 9 practices that come out of that model that illustrate the model? And then, so if this is all true, what do I do in my organization to take this forward? That's essentially the element. So four parts with the references tagged on at the end.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you reflecting on the process and how you've come to get to those sections. And I mean, you're not new to writing books, are you? So this is your fourth?
Yeah, it's my fourth book in recent times. I've probably written a previous 4 earlier on, which were very different. Now, I think the first published book, I did a set for the Council for Educational Technology. They're in the 80s, I think. So my first books were a long time ago. But I wouldn't, these are proper, these are more meaty, these recent books. And as always, the one that I'm on at the moment is the one that I'm most obsessed by and most interested in the topic. But we'll see. You know, what happens with me is, as soon as I finish a book, things like fermenting in my head, the next one starts bubbling up. I don't think I could ever stop writing. I'd find it very, very hard to stop writing. And I also really like the discipline of long form. I do tons and hundreds of, you know, 1,000 word articles. And I wrote one for Training Zone on leadership recently. But it's long form when you really get your head around something. And that is difficult. Yeah. It's hard, but it's also the most rewarding. Yeah. So I never want to stop writing. I just enjoy it. And one day I'll even be moderately good at it. It's always a struggle. And but it's a gladiatorial fight, really, between yourself, your intellect, the world, your personality, the systems and processes. Now, they're always fighting each other to get something to pop out the other end.
So before you start work on the next one, when is this one due to be published? When can people get it? And what's it
coming
out?
Well, yes, that's a very good question. Let me just tell you when it's coming out, and then I'll tell you when it's what it's called. It's coming out on the 16th of September, mm-hmm. and it is called The Great Reset: Unlocking the Power of Organizational Learning. Because I think it is a reset. Right. It's not just about tinkering. This is about rethinking how organizations operate if you want to genuinely unlock that power, which I think is a critical power for surviving amidst uncertainty and building increasing resilience for both individuals and organizations. So that's what it is. Short title, The Great Reset. Middle title, The Great Reset, Unlocking the Power of Organizational Learning. And it's dedicated to my 4 grandchildren. I've said in the book, I hope that I've contributed in some small way to your future health, wealth, and happiness. Because I really hope that the world that they grow up in is still here. It's one thing, but also is, you know, the work environment and the link between work and learning and work and lifelong learning is so much better defined for them, so that they can become lifelong learners without even thinking about it and not as a major struggle. So I really do want this book to have an impact way beyond the immediate readership. You know, I hope it changes the world. It probably won't, but I hope it does something small just in a few organizations that create some sort of knock-on effect. And the truth is, we will see whether that's true or whether I'm living in fantasy land. Don't know.
Well, I think it's a great aspiration, and I'm sure that that will happen in more than just a few organizations. So we look forward to seeing it on the 16th of September. So let's wrap it up there, Nigel. Good luck with it, and we will, next episode coming soon.
Next episode coming soon, and we'll try and work out some way of giving away a few copies to people mad enough to listen to our podcast. I think that would be a good thing to do.
Great idea.
Thank you, Martin, as always.
From scratch.